This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. Last week in January. And I believe it is episode 96. Or 97. 96, I think. I am not sure. It may be 97. I should have looked this up before I started. You know what? Whichever one it is, it's fine. It's January 27th. I should know that because I've got another little mini blog that I'm doing every day for my granddaughter, Clara. And I believe I told her it was January 27th today. So, there you go. It's been a good week. Still learning lots and lots of stuff during the Veinworks stand project. I've been telling friends at this point that I am in the process of drinking the Kool-Aid with Google AdWords. Supposedly, if you just take the pain for a while and you have a good response rate on your ads, that Google will eventually award you the privilege of paying less for click-throughs. At this point, I'm paying something like $1.50 per click-through, which is way more expensive than I could possibly afford. But thankfully, there's only 20-25 click-throughs I'm getting a day. So of course I can sustain that here for a little bit, but supposedly after you spend some money with them, then you can get your, you kind of earn your stripes with them, and so then they go, oh, you're okay, we'll let you into the kingdom a little cheaper. this whole Google AdWords thing is really kind of a racket. But anyways, you know, there's the old golden rule in business. He who has the gold makes the rules. So Google has the gold. Google gets to make the rules. Which is fine. You know, it's fine. I had a chance to chat with a few buddies this week. Not my whole slate. We're still kind of getting back into the pattern again. But And I told one of them, I am glad I did this. And he said, you know, I'm really glad you did it too. He said, you would have always wondered. And he said, no matter what happens, he said, I'm proud of the fact that you pushed it through and you got to the end of it. And I said, well, I said, I'm pretty happy with the fact that I've, you know, pushed it through as well. So it was interesting. Well, I'll get on that in a minute. So we are in the process of just trying to figure out the marketing. I still have a few tricks up my sleeve that I'm going to try. And I told my wife, you know, all I can do is go home every day and say, well, I haven't tried that yet, and just keep trying things. And at some point, I'm going to run out of things to try. And when I run out of things to try, then we might say, you know, that was an interesting experience. Fine and dandy. I would really like for this, I would like for this to work out. Not only so that I get my money paid back out of this, but also because I could keep putting money into my local economy. So we'll see. We'll see. It's very interesting. It's really, really very interesting. So, as it stands now, I can sit here and do what I'm doing for the next 10 years. And it will be about 10 years before I run out of product. So, I am making sales, but, you know, they're just not walking out the door that fast. Anyways, and as I was talking with my buddy, he asked me an interesting question. He looked at me and said, when are you going back to writing? And I said, man, he said, are you missing it? I said, oh, man, I miss it. I miss it. I miss it so much. I said, but I've got to hang in there with this for a little while longer. I said, I just got to keep at it, you know, because just like if I hadn't ever done the stand, I would have always wondered what would have been like to do a physical product. I can't give up on the marketing now. I mean, I just can't. I've got to keep trying to learn more, trying to plow through, you know, trying to do better from a marketing standpoint for this. Because if I stop now, it'll be like, well, if I had just hung in there a little while longer. And I don't necessarily have to keep spending money, because the things that I need to do for the marketing, a lot of them don't require a whole lot of money. I mean, the Google AdWords thing does, but it should just come out to a couple of $100 by the time it's all said and done, before I make the decision as to whether or not I continue to allow them to skewer me. So, wow, it's really an interesting thing, this AdWords stuff. But anyways, in terms of the writing, had something come up this last weekend. I was planning this last weekend to do a few things, and then I saw this ad on television, and I thought, And I've been missing writing so much that there just was no way I wasn't going to do it. So there's a local car dealership, Reliable Hyundai, they're called, and they apparently have already paid money for time during the big game. I can't call it the Super Bowl because that's a copyrighted term, but we'll call it the big game. They've already set aside money for the commercials and stuff, but they don't actually have a commercial. Well, or someone down there has decided, why should we just run our boring talking head commercials? Maybe we can do better. For some reason, they decided that they would not go to an ad agency and get the ad agency to try to put something together for them, probably because the ad agency would want to charge them a lot of money and make a very expensive ad because it's for the big game. So what they decided to do is they decided to start a contest, and the idea being, well, there's all these creative people out there, so we'll just have them give us suggestions for TV commercials, and then we'll just pick the best one, and we'll go ahead and we'll produce it. So I saw this ad, and they're going to give the winner like a big screen TV, which I don't care about. I just really don't care about. So I see this ad for this, and I'm like, whoa, it's writing. We are going to do this. So the first thing I thought, well, what can we do for an idea? What can we do for an idea? And so then immediately an idea kind of popped, the beginnings of the idea popped into my head. And basically I saw this car driving down the football field, bouncing defenders out of the way. And, you know, so that idea of putting a car into a football game, you know, I worked on that for a little while and refined it. 30 seconds is not much time to tell a story and get to a punchline. But basically, the ad is that the Hyundai team is down 5 points, 6 points, whatever. There's only one play left in the game, and one announcer thinks they're out, and the other announcer says, don't count them out, because that Hyundai team, as he's talking, he goes, wait, they're putting in the rookie. And so then we see a shot of the team coming out, and a car comes out with them and lines up in a tight end position. And then a defender kneels down in front of this car, and then the defender, of course, turns and looks at the camera, terror in his eyes. And we cut to black. We hear the car rev its engine. Quarterback yells hut, and then we hear the defender scream. So I went out and I thought, okay, this is going to be hard to shoot. So I went out, did a detailed script. I found a stock footage that they could use for the arena shots so they could do an establishing shot, and I picked music for them. I did all that stuff for them, you know, put it all out there. And then I recruited some friends to went out there and say how great it was. And so, but then I got looking at the rules and things, couple of days after that, and I got to thinking, uh-oh, because Reliable Hyundai is not even going to pick the winner until, like, January 31st, and the game is February 5th, which means they're only going to have 4 days to shoot this thing. I mean, maybe they just know more about video production than I do, but 4 days? That seemed really fast. And they were supposed to have, they said on there that they had to have the commercial to the television station by the 4th. I thought, wow, that is really tight. So then I get to thinking, I read all the rules. They didn't have anything that said you couldn't, you couldn't submit twice. So I thought, okay, I need a really simple commercial. By this time, there's like 30 some odd commercials out there. But, you know, frankly, some of them, a couple of them were cute. Some of them looked like they didn't really spend much time thinking about them. And some of them I really didn't get. And some of them I read them and I thought, no, I don't think they're going to make that commercial just because it doesn't, you know. Anyways, so I have a little competition, but not, in my mind at least, in my little world, I don't have a whole lot of competition. But I thought, you know, if there's anything that knocks me out, it'll be the production. Having the production of having to have this whole football team, really two sides and all that kind of stuff. So I needed an easier idea. So then I was thinking, okay, I can need an easier idea. And the big thing with Hyundai is the fact that it has a 10-year warranty. That's one of the things they like to stress. So I thought, okay, let's see what we can do with that. And so it's really funny because, you know, I just kind of, I will attribute it to whispers from God and from just his creativity, but I'm not going to say that just because it was a whisper for him, I'm necessarily going to win. I'm just going to say that I think God is so immensely creative that if your heart is still and you just acknowledge him whenever you need help creatively, things will just pop up in your brain. And so I got this other idea. Very simple shoot. Basically, you need two men actors and a woman. That's it. You do it all on a little corner outside an apartment building. Really easy to shoot. And the idea is that you do an opening shot, and one of the guys, Bob, is sitting on the curb, and he's got this lawnmower tipped up, and he's got his tools around him, and he's tinkering with it. And he's in casual clothes, and Tom comes walking up. He's just gotten off work, and he has a coffee cup in his hand and his briefcase. And he looks at Bob, and he says, "So, Bob, new hobby?" And Bob says, "Not a hobby. Lawnmower's not mine, and it's not broken." And Tom gives him a puzzled look. He said, "You know, Jenny up in 2B, I looked up the warranty on her old Hyundai, and it ran out today. She comes home. She sees I'm handy. I'm in." Well, and then he goes on, you know, the typical kind of braggadocious type thing. You know, you just gotta know how women think, Tom. You just gotta get in their brains and be three steps ahead of them. And while he's going through all that kind of stuff, in the background behind him, because he's on the corner of an apartment building, and there's places to park all around him and behind him. Behind him, you see this new Elantra drive up and park, and Jenny gets out. And she is just shaking with excitement. She's so excited. And she gets out, and right in the middle of him making his speech about how that you got to get into women's heads and stay ahead of them, she screams out, "I got a new car! And it has a 10-year warranty! I love Hyundai!" I mean, she's just screaming and doing the goofy dance. And she eventually dances inside. She's so excited about this car. Or she just keeps dancing out there, and Tom leans over to Bob. He says, "Don't sweat it, Bob. You know, that car only has a 10-year warranty on it," and that's the end of the commercial. So it's just quick. It's cute. Tell a little story. You know, make people smile. In and out. Boom. So I've got both of them up. I will tell you next week how it goes. It would be really cool if I won the contest. On the other hand, I have had so much joy and so much fun over just taking a break for a few days and doing some writing that it really doesn't matter whether I win. And my daughter and son-in-law, they came up with an idea. They submitted as well. I mean, it would be really gonzo cool if one of us won, because all of Alan's youth group is coming over to the house for a Super Bowl party. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday, when for the big game party. And so that would be fun to have them there when the ad actually airs. We'll see. I don't know. Just fun. It's fun. It's fun. Makes me happy. Segwaying into our next thing. So I was watching Oprah. My wife's been taping the final season since it's Oprah's final season. And they've had some really interesting shows. Really an amazing phenomenon. Just an amazing phenomenon. Oprah. And yesterday she was talking to Goldie Hawn and they were talking about happiness. And some pretty interesting things. You know, whenever people are talking about how do you find happiness, how do you find joy in life, how are you successful in life, all those things, my ears always perk up because I want to listen and see what people have to say and see how it kind of fits with my philosophy, and, you know, maybe I can learn something new. And it was very interesting. Goldie Hawn talked about how she had made a practice for many, many, many years of happiness and trying to be happy and those types of things. And as they were talking, you know, they brought up some things that improve your state of happiness. And as they were talking about them, I was thinking, yeah, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. One of them was, I just drove by a place out in the country. You see all sorts of things. I just drove by a place that had all kinds of junk piled up in front of their yard. And then they had this big sign at one spot that said, not for sale. So I don't know what's going on there. Anyways. And one of the points that they made is that you should take time every day to get quiet. Oprah said, you don't have to call it meditation if you don't want to. Just try it for like 10 days. Just take just even a minute every day. Just sit and be quiet. Because there's been some studies that do show that it's an effective reliever of stress, which I can see how that would be. And I was just reading a news article about mindfulness meditation, which I guess basically is just sitting, trying not to think about anything in particular, except that you're taking another breath and your heart's beating, and, you know, don't worry about the things of the day, just sit quietly. And how that the newest MRI studies with control groups indicate that it changes the brain. It actually, meditation, or what we would call devotions, some people, like us, would call devotions, meditation actually changes the brain. And that's very interesting. I mean, personally, I think I myself live, although I have a lot of things going on all the time, I live a fairly quiet life. I don't have an extreme amount of pressure in my life. I don't, you know, there's not a lot of noise internally in my life. And when there is, I try to get it tamped down. So I absolutely agree with that yes, if you take time to meditate, just get things quiet, that it will change your life. And I think one of the reasons for that is if you can quiet down the flesh in your life and get quiet, you'll hear more from the spirit. Whether you recognize it as the spirit or not, the message that God is trying to get through to you, that you are loved, that everything's all right, that you can succeed in life, whether you ever have a lot of money or whether you have a lot of possessions. I think that message, when you get quiet, starts to seep in that everything's okay. One of their other little points that they were making is the importance of social interactions, the importance of meeting with friends, of having conversations. And I absolutely, I agree with that. This past week, I missed 1, 2, 3 of my round tables with my buddies. And I can tell when I miss them. You know, I love to have discussions with them. I love to sit down, just talk about life. I think one of the sad things in Christian circles is that we've taken people's time to put them in situations where we don't have that social interaction, and we've given them the impression that what we're doing for them is a substitute. We've pulled people into church services and Sunday school classes where everything's a spectator sport, where we're sitting and we're just listening, or we're in, you know, big enough Sunday school classes that not everybody can talk at the same time. And it becomes formulaic and ritualistic, and we really miss out on just that one-to-one conversation. Or 1 to 2 or 1 to 3 conversation where we're just sharing with friends and we're just talking about life and talking about what's going on. We miss that by just going and sitting in a pew. And some churches have been very, very successful in trying to put that back in by using small groups. I'm getting my mail. So that's something as well that I absolutely agree with, that you can find happiness in life by taking time to be with friends. And we should probably all figure out how to take more time to be with friends. One of the interesting things about the Oprah show when she was going to Australia is there had been an Australian viewer had come to the States to see her show and said, well, when you come to Australia, you come to my house. And so Oprah did, of course. It was a big, exciting, you know, surprise. But they were talking about the fact that there was a whole group of people at her house. And this was every week on Friday. They had a barbecue. Everybody would come over. I'm backing into my garage. Would have a barbecue. Everybody would come over, you know, they'd all sit around, they'd have food, they'd drink beer, you know, which at the end of the day, hope not to shock too many people with this, but while I do not consume alcohol, I don't really see what the difference is between consuming alcohol and eating high fat foods. But so I don't know that having great parties with friends where alcohol is necessarily important. But that whole process, I think sometimes because there are people who get together and consume alcohol and have friendships and they get a lot of joy out of that and a lot of satisfaction and fulfillment out of it, then we look at it and we poo-poo the whole thing and say, oh, well, we can't, you know, because all they do is get together and drink. But that idea of getting together, sharing our lives together on a consistent, regular basis, that really is so, so very important. And one of the reasons that it's important is because the goal of the flesh is to keep us isolated. Because if the flesh can keep us isolated, that it can build within us a concept of the world that is false. That you're alone, everything's chaotic, you should be worried about everything, nothing is going to work out in your life, blah, 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 blah. And if we don't have a chance to interact with friends and bounce those ideas off friends and feel the wonder that is communion with friends, those those attitudes get ingrained in us. You can often tell people who have been alone for great stretches of their life because of their attitudes towards life and because their view of life is a little bit skewed. Because that's one of the activities of the flesh. It builds up around us this concept of the world that is false. So it's really good. They mentioned other things like, you know, you should have sex a lot too. Because that releases oxytocin in your brain and that will make you happier. One of the things that was interesting that I took away from that is, for me, the goal of life is not necessarily to be happy, but to be wise. And I found that in the pursuit of wisdom and in the pursuit of God and in the pursuit of His quietness and His voice, I have found joy. Whereas I think if you are just pursuing happiness and just pursuing fun and just pursuing those things, that there are other things that can get mated to them, like alcohol and obesity and sexual addiction and all these different things, because you're pursuing and you're trying to find something to satisfy you in life. The flesh is very good about figuring out, you know, how to capitalize on those things. But that does not mean that at the core there isn't something that's very, very true. And so I think a lot of what Oprah was saying about paths to happiness is absolutely true. Connection to family, connection to friends, taking time to meditate every day, getting outside, going for walks, reconnecting to nature, all those things are really, really important for our state of mind and our well-being and our stress levels. So anyways, it was an interesting show. And, you know, I got a lot of things out of it, and maybe you did too. Anyways, this is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.